Father, we worship you in this place. As we glorify your name and we magnify you to the highest of our spirits. As we glorify you and we stand on the promises of your word. Lord God, not looking to the left or the right, we're staying focused on that which you have put us in the direction of. Understanding and believing that everything that you have promised us, Father, it shall come to pass. And as we glorify you in the midst of our praise, in the midst of our worship, we thank you, Lord God, for inhabiting it and moving it within our bodies, our minds, and our spirits, establishing your covenant with us, that we might run this race with patience, that having done all to stand, we might continue to stand, that we might fight the good fight of faith, and that we might have patience and endurance in all the things that we deal with. Father, we thank you this morning for just being God. Lord God, for illuminating our eyes that we might perceive and see past the natural and see that which has been hidden from ages. Father, that we might press into the prize and receive that which you have and laid up for us. For Father, we refuse to give up and we will not lay down, but we will fight and we shall run and we shall seek and we shall find. But Father, we know you have opened the door for us. Therefore, we shall enter in into your praise and we shall enter in to your blessing, into your greatness. So Father, today we thank you right now in this holiday season as you have kept us and brought us another year. Father, as we're pressing and striving for greater and supernatural things than ever before. Lord God, as we know that which we see is not what you have predicted and that which you have prophesied. But Lord, that which we cannot see, we understand to perceive that that is that which you shall bring forth. So Father, we're not speaking those things that are not and not believing that they shall come to pass. But Father, we believe and we trust in your mighty word today. Lord God, as we stand on your promises, we stand by faith and not by sight. Understanding that the promises of God are yea and nay. So Father, today we thank you for not just moving upon our lives, but moving upon our families and touching our friends. Lord God, that the very love of God might compass about them and strengthen them and fortify them and quicken their souls. Lord God, that whatever trial they may be going through, whatever tribulation may be upon them, whatever persecution may be afflicting or affliction may be upon them, that they might glorify you in the midst of it all, knowing that you are more than all that they need and that there is nothing that you cannot do and all things are possible unto you. So, Father, we thank you today. We praise you today. And we magnify you today from the very depths of our hearts. Lord God, that you might understand that we love you and we appreciate you and we adore you. For you search the intents of a man's heart. So search our hearts and see that we love and we care and we adore you, Father. And we just don't worship you with our mouths and with our bodies, but we worship you with our hearts and with our souls. Lord God, have your way today. Lord God, as we glorify you, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for being King and for being our Lord and a Master. And we thank you for guiding us and leading us into all truths. For you are the Mighty One and there is none other like you. So we glorify you today. And we thank you for blessing your word and encouraging us and teaching us and giving us understanding beyond understanding. So that with all our getting, we get that which you have placed before us. That we might feast on this, the table you have set. In the midst of our enemies, we might glorify you and realize that all things, Lord God, happen for a purpose. And there is intent in them. So we thank you today. And we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on and put your hands together and give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. If you got your Bibles open to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the very first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run this patience. Run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Amen. Hallelujah to the word of God. Wherefore, seeing or perceiving, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us, that are a testimony or martyrs, those who have witnessed to the very, to the principles of faith, those that have stood by faith in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of circumstance, in the midst of affliction or persecution, they have lived and lived according to faith. Not according to that which they see or that which they felt, but they lived according to the faith of God. And that's what we have to do. We have to live according with the faith of God. This is to let us know that we're not alone, that we're not by ourselves. You know, Pastor Relaford and myself, we've been preaching in Elijah, in the book of Kings about Elijah, how he thought he was all by himself and he stood alone. Father, I'm the only one. I am the only one that serve you. And God said, Elijah, forgive me, but I have 7,000 that have not bowed down to Baal. You're not the only one. So this is to let us know that according to faith, by the faith that we have in God, that we are compassed about, that we are surrounded with a great witnesses that have experienced what faith was about and what it was. It's talking about the prophets of old and the prophets of new and what they had to go through in order to receive that which God has promised them. And they still haven't received it because they'll receive it the same time as we receive our promise of eternal life. So they pressed their way on in thinking that they were going to receive their eternal life when they passed on, but not knowing that they would not. But yet they've had faith in God anyway. And we have to have faith in God. We are in a time and a turmoil in the world and in the city and everywhere where we have to have faith in our God and not faith in ourselves and not faith in other men and women, but faith in ourselves to believe that that which God has promised us, he's going to bring it to pass. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and you see how far clouds stretch, and they stretch so far, and we're compassed about. We're surrounded below us, above us, around us with witnesses. The faith of those witnesses that believe, that encourage you, even those that who have gone on before you and who believe God, who died in God, you can have confidence and belief that their faith brought them and took them to the place where they needed to go, so that they'll understand that these things that we have, that we lay aside every weight. Weight is the swelling or emergence of things that are in our lives, and these things that weight us down and seem to be like they put a cowbell around a cow's neck so you'll know where he's at all times. But see, the only person that needs to know us is God. So therefore, we stand by faith and we live by faith, and we're compassed about with so many witnesses letting us know that God and the word of God lets us know that if we live according to faith, that nothing is impossible unto them that believe, that we can do all things through Christ that has strengthened us. So therefore, we know that God has energized us and given us ability to do things that others think we can't do, and to go places others think we can't go, and to see things that others think we can't see, and understand the understandable, and believe God for the impossible. We can expect miracles where there are no miracles. We can expect healings where folks are not being healed. We can expect deliverance where folks are not being delivered. Whatever it is God has for us, we can expect it and believe on it because of the word that's in us and because of those that have gone on before us. Amen. There have been so many great men and women of God that have gone on, but they lived according to faith. And folks said they should have lived forever. No, no one lives forever. The Bible says it's appointed unto every man to die once. So we trust in God nevertheless, and we lay aside, we push aside, or we walk over, or we don't allow it to separate us from that which we believe God's going to do for us and that which God's going to establish in our lives and in our homes and in our families. We have to trust God, because see, there are things that will come against you to separate you from your focus and to steal your joy and your peace, so that you can't see the things you need to see and understand that which you need to understand. things and trials and afflictions happen to try to make you think that God ain't not who he is, and the word that God has given you is not going to last and it's not going to come to pass. But I'm here to tell you that this too shall pass, and it shall fall aside, and you shall lay it aside, because there's something that's living in you. It's called pistis. It's a divinely implanted principle that God put in you. It's called faith. And God put it in you that you can see with your eyes closed, and you can hear where there is nothing being said, and you can understand where there is nothing to be understood, because there's a spirit on the inside of you. There's life on the inside of you that gives you the ability to believe where there is no belief, to have faith where people don't have faith, and to have joy where there is no joy, and to be strong where there is no strength. God has enabled you and put this in you, and you can have confidence in the power of God that's in your life. You can have confidence in the word that God has given you, that these things shall come to pass, and you have to speak to those things that are not as though they are. And once you say that it is, you have to believe that God's going to bring it to pass in your life. Hallelujah. Every weight, not some. You can't pick what weight or what thing that's holding you that you want to lay aside. We've decided that, well, I'm going to lay this aside, and this I'm just going to deal with. Well, you have to lay aside every weight. I mean, you may be dealing with it, but you don't have to let it pull you down or separate you from that which God has called you to. There's a lot of different ways weights look like. Weights come in different sizes, different forms, different ideas, different principles, a whole lot of things. But you have to realize, what is your weight? A lot of folks fail to accept their weight, but keep living. Keep living and keep on pressing, and you will find out just what it is. It says, lay aside every weight, and the sin is translated here, problem. And the problem which does so easily beset us, which so easily tries to get in and cause us to lose or failing to hit the mark or miss out on what God has established in our life. Say, easily beset us. Things happen to keep us out of church and to keep us from sowing seed and doing things that we've been doing all these years, because they say it's rough and we see that things are going bad and all this is going on. But God said, I've established something in you that's beyond principle, that's beyond things that you see and things that you understand. See, God is doing miracles and things that we don't understand to prove himself God. We are in a day and age when men and women think that they're God. Amen. Amen. You know, I shouldn't have said that. When he is God. And these things try to set up, separate us or cause us to stumble. But the good thing about it is, in your stumbling, if you're stumbling forward, guess what it turns into? A run. Not unless you like me and you stumble and you fall. Amen. Thus so easily beset us, and let us do what? Run. We can't let our problems cause us to trip up and miss the things that God has for us. Because you can't blame it on anybody. We try to. It's easy to blame it on something. Instead of just, okay, it's done. Well, we're blaming on the devil, or I'll blame it on Brother Tim, or Brother Reverend, Sister Metcalf. Well, if they hadn't did what they did, I wouldn't have did what I did. If they hadn't said what they said, I wouldn't have acted the way I acted. That's a problem. And it's not their problem, but it's my problem. Amen. It's something that I can't allow to separate me from the faith, from my confidence in God. There's problems surrounding us. Just like we have this great cloud of witnesses, we have a great cloud of problems. They not only come in sizes, but they come in situations and circumstances. They come in spiritual things, and they come in natural things. But in it all, God has given us faith that we might do what? Endure as good soldiers. Hallelujah. Doing what? Fighting the good fight of faith. Glory to God. And let us run with patience. I don't know if you like to run. I tried it. And I didn't have no patience with it. Coughing and hacking. Trying to decide if I went far enough yet. So I tried it on the treadmill. Same thing. But it tells us here you got to run with patience. The patience involves your confidence. You got to run in the midst of your trial with confidence. Knowing that whatever your circumstance or tribulation or affliction or whatever it is that you're going through, you still have the ability to do what? To keep going. You have the ability to press your way on through it. Not giving up. Not deciding that it's too hard, which we do. I'm the first to raise my hand. Amen. Lord, I'm tired of this mess. Amen. This is enough of this. How long are you going to let this go on? And God says, as long as you let it go on. If you come to a faith where your faith tells you, a place where your faith tells you that it's a done situation, then it'll be done with. That means that the problem don't go away. You just come to a place where the problem isn't a problem. It becomes a circumstance. There's a difference between a problem and a circumstance. A problem is something that pulls at you, divides you, separates you, tears at you. A circumstance is just something you just happen to be in. Most circumstances you were just involved in. You might just happen to walk into a room where folks are going off on each other. That's a circumstance. Because you don't have a clue what's going on. And you're trying to figure out how to get out of there. If you turn around and leave, the one going to say stay. And if you stay, the other going to say leave. That's where you have to have confidence in who you know you are. And you live according to faith. You have to run. You can't look back. Yeah, you'll be turned to a pillar of salt. Or you'll feel like you've been turned to a pillar of salt. Because then you'll be reminded of that which you're trying to get away from. And it interferes with the faith that God has given you. So therefore you run. And you run with patience and confidence in God, knowing that whatever it is that you're running to is far more greater than that which you're running from. What do? You keep doing what? Pressing forward. And you look at whatever it is you're going through, believing and trusting in God, that God will give you the ability and the endurance. That's what I need, Brother Tim, endurance. How many took a stress test lately? Isn't that a lot of fun? It's like they're trying to see how much you can take before you slide off that treadmill. It keeps going faster and inclining, faster and inclining. And you already huffing and puffing and something in you wants to give up. But there's something in you don't want to give up. You look at 3 minutes, you say, I can do 4. And they're all the time asking you, are you done? And you're not going to admit to them that you're done, so I can do another minute. Well, every other minute you do, you'll get more huffing and puffing. Last stress test I did was about a month ago. And I did 8 minutes the last time. And I was determined, Sister Gilmer, I was going to beat that 8 minutes. Well, when we got to 6 and a half, my patience was running thin. Because it got the incline started getting higher, and she was sitting there going, "You done yet?" "Not yet." And I lost something in the process of saying, "Not yet, Sister Nancy." It's like I lost some strength. It got a little bit harder, so I decided I'm not going to talk to her no more. If she asks me, I'll just nod. I'm going to make this 8 minutes. I'm going to do 9 minutes. Well, when I got to that 9 minutes, it felt like every muscle in my body was about to just come apart. My lungs felt like they were about to explode. But I was determined, Brother Rick, I was going to do that 9 minutes. I'm going to beat that 8 minutes. That's the kind of confidence you got to have in God, that whatever it is that's coming against you, you are going to beat it. You're not going to give up. And I started talking to myself today. I said, "You know what? If I have patience, I can make it." When it got to 8 minutes and 20 seconds, I said, "Okay." 8 minutes and 30 seconds, it feel like the clock started slowing down. Chest was about this big, lungs trying to push their way, trying to get some air. Mother grabbing for some air. But I was determined I was going to beat that 8 minutes. If I had a heart attack there on the treadmill, they was going to say he did 9 minutes. If it kills you, your testimony will be that you stood. That you fought the good fight of faith. And you run the race with patience. You had confidence in your God and in the word that God established in your spirit. And you refuse to give up. Amen. The enemy wants you to give up, wants you to run the other way. But you got to keep pressing your way on through. When we were kids, we used to like to play in the mud. Every now and then you get in one of them big mud patches and you couldn't move. And then the other guys that did move, they'd come by and knock you down in it. So here you are laying in the mud and about 8 or 9 guys throwing mud on you. You can't give up because the longer you stay there, the more mud they're going to toss on you. So you grind and you drag yourself out of there and you roll. You did whatever you had to get through that mud so they couldn't keep throwing stuff on top of you. Whatever you're going through, you got to keep pressing your way through it. If you got to roll through it, if you got to crawl through it, if you got to do whatever you got to do to get through it, you got to keep going so that more junk can't be put up on top of you. We can't give up. It's your fight. It's our fight. And we got to fight it. And we have to have confidence, Sister Sherry, in fighting what we're fighting. God didn't say it was going to be easy. If it was going to be that easy, he wouldn't have gave us this word to encourage us and to let us know all the things we had to go through and the battles that we were going to fight. Nothing's been given to us that we don't already know about. It's just that when it's upon you, it does something different to you. And the race has been set before you a long time. You have to remember, this thing has been set for you before you were even born. It was already predestinated, everything that you was going to have to go through. But the Bible says, it's for our good. Now, I haven't figured that one out yet. But I'm working on it. I haven't figured out feeling like I'm in a fiery furnace. It's working out for my good. Especially when ain't nothing coming off. I'm still working on trying to figure out when I can't get up and walk in the morning because of the pain that's in my back, how that's working out for my good. But the word of God says it's working out for your good. But then I realized how it's working out for my good, because when I get to that place, I call on one name. I don't call Rodney, not unless I need something moved. Because if I move it and I hurt myself, then he talks about me.
You knew you couldn't move it in the first place, so why'd you try? So I started calling on Jesus. When I have to fall out of bed in the morning, Brother Relaford, and have to crawl to the restroom because my back got my right leg crippled, I say, Jesus, I'm not thinking about the pain. I'm trying to get to the restroom. But that's what's been set before me. You got to keep going. You can't let nothing stop you from reaching the goals that God has set for you. There's going to be a lot of complications, lots of trials, lots of tribulations, lots of troubles, lots of things going to come to try to afflict you and to affect your mind and afflict your heart and afflict your flesh. But you got to keep fighting and pressing toward the mark of that calling that God's already placed in your life. We don't know why it's going to work out for our purpose, but there's a reason for it somehow. Anytime you have to call on the name of Jesus to get you out, then it's for your good. If you got to call on the name of Jesus to give you strength, then it's for your good. If you got to call on the name of Jesus for peace of mind, then it's for your good. If you got to call on the name of Jesus for anything, it's working for your good. Because you probably don't call on him when you don't have no problem. See, we had got smart. When I was in school, I knew that my sisters could fight just as good as us. So I wouldn't fight you where you wanted me to fight you. I stayed in front of you and let you follow me. And you'd be talking behind my back all the way home. We're going to do this too. I said, okay. I wouldn't even look back. I kept going. We're going to do this. Just kept going. But when I got to my place of safety, which was in front of my house, what you want to do now? Because I knew that my sisters and my other brothers was going to be looking out the window. And when they saw me out there and they saw the other folks out there, it was going to be on, Sister Lucy. Didn't matter whether I was going to lose the battle or not, I was going to be fighting with some folks that felt the same way about it as I did. So next thing I know, the door flies open. I say, here come my help. And they come running out of there like an army, Mother Relaford. Brothers, sisters. And we had a time. And don't nobody know who won. But I know one thing, they never follow me to that spot again. The enemy ain't gonna follow you to your safe haven. Your safe haven is in Jesus. He might follow you somewhere else, Brother Chet, but he's not going where the name of Jesus is, because he know at the name of Jesus, every knee gonna bow, every tongue is gonna confess that Jesus is Lord. So you have to take him to your safe haven. Your safe haven is where you call on Jesus at. And wherever you at, you call on Jesus, that becomes your safe haven, because every place you plant your feet becomes the holiness of God. My God. So we in a race, Brother Tony, but that's all right. We just have to keep running. You have to, Brother Hart used to tell the little young fellas all the time, run like you stole something. We didn't like it either. But when he said it to the adults too, he let you know he didn't have no, it didn't matter to him. Praise the Lord. I don't think we're going to finish this week. Tony say, oh. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. This is our race. It's your race. Can't nobody run it like you can run it. Nobody. You might be the tortoise and the other person might be the hare. But as long as you keep moving, that bad boy gonna give up sooner or later. And you gonna truck right on by him. And it's gonna be your race. and you're going to be the victor. All you have to do is understand is that as long as you keep going, that it's always the possibility that the victory is yours. Hallelujah. But folks want to have victory and don't want to have no trial. It don't come like that. You can't have victory unless you have a problem. That's why we have these weights that we have to lay aside so we can keep moving forward. Come on, give God some praise. Everybody stand. Next week, we're going to look to the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you feel depressed, hold on, I got to work with these glasses again. I got it now, Mother Relaford. If you're feeling depressed, deep oppressed, oppressed, any kind of pressed, tired, weary, worn out, I want you to come stand across this altar this morning. He is my everything.